A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. Today, we'll hear about some of the plans that youth ensembles in our region have for the coming fall season. My guests will be Linnell Joy Jenkins, Artistic Director of Westrick Music Academy, home of the Princeton Girl Choir and Princeton Boy Choir, and Princeton Symphony Orchestra Executive Director Mark Ace and Larissa Epps, Executive Director of the Youth Orchestra of Central Jersey, which have created a partnership bringing PSO Assistant Conductor Nell Flanders to lead the students in the Youth Orchestra. Let's start off this week with a look at some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. The New Jersey Symphony Orchestra is among those ensembles cutting staff as the cancellation of season performances continues to drag down revenue. The orchestra announced this week that it will eliminate 12 positions, including some in the marketing, development, education, and finance departments, as it deals with about $3.4 million in lost revenue. The orchestra also said it would put some other staff members on periodic furlough to further lower expenses. The NJSO plans to announce details on new online content in the near future. That's just some of the news this week from around the world of the performing arts. It's fall, and school is back in session, in various forms, of course. This is also a time when youth ensembles begin to welcome their students back for a new year of instruction, rehearsal, and performance. But as with the rest of the performing arts world in the era of COVID-19, things are different, at least for the fall. I reached out to two youth organizations in the Princeton region, the Princeton Girl Choir and the Youth Orchestra of Central Jersey, to get a sense of what their plans are for the coming months. Westrick Music Academy is the parent organization for the Princeton Girl Choir and Princeton Boy Choir, and provides some other music education programs as well. I spoke with Artistic Director Linnell Joy Jenkins, as well as with Executive Director Hillary Butler, about how they plan to keep the music and the learning going.
We were all inspired by one of our choral colleagues, Kelly Walsh, who's the president of Choral Canada, which is the equivalent of like ACDA here in the States. And she has a quote that during the grieving period that we all experienced was, if a choir is only about singing and performing, then there will be no choir for a while. If choir is about teaching and learning, growing, connecting, community, cultural exploration and transmission, and innovating, we will find a way to have choir. So we are very encouraged and empowered by her quote, and that has been how we've met the challenges of doing it virtually, but we're going to continue the singing, the learning, the teaching, the growing, the connecting, and really particularly the community. I mean, it's been wonderful to keep all of our singers together virtually. So that's how we're moving together in the fall.
How difficult was it in, say, the past couple of months as you went from the realization that in-person was not going to work, especially with all the attention that choirs and singing is getting, to this realization that we can make something work?
You know, it's funny. I, like many of my choral colleagues and singers, we went through a sort of a grieving period. But we didn't really take time to grieve too long, because when in-person activities ceased, the next week or two, we were right in there teaching virtually. Didn't know how to build a house with just a hammer, so to speak, but we were going forward and we were going to press forward ahead and figure it out as we go. And I think a lot of this time, as we're experiencing in this season, we're becoming very creative and innovative. And every day there's something new that we're learning about how to do this effectively and engaging. So it didn't take long to make the decision about, we knew we were moving forward, virtually. We're just trying to figure out how. And it's brilliant that my colleagues who have been resilient, I have just witnessed resilience and my colleagues across the world who have shared webinars and shared their Zoom rehearsals with us so that we can be part of their learning and teaching experience and just gain knowledge for them. So, you know, the other parts are difficult to figure out, you know, the financial aspect, but the artistic aspect, you know, we always just knew we were going to go ahead and continue the musical and communal engagement with our singers. We just had to figure out how.
So what will that look like then? You have a number of ensembles. How will you interact and engage with all your choristers?
One of the things we learned from our choristers from the 12 weeks that we had with them from March to June is consistency and community. That was important to them as well as growing as an artist. And just when we surveyed even some of the girls, because we have a variety of different programs. We have the Princeton Boy Choir, Princeton Girl Choir, which is our two choral programs, and there's 10 choirs between those two groups. And then a variety of different education programs, such as Poca Voce Choir, which launched this summer. We had a wonderful first graders and second graders who are tech savvy and just ready to play virtually and musically, which was just really awesome. So for us moving forward in the fall, since we've gained this knowledge from our singers, we are offering them a choir class, the equivalent of their regular rehearsal time. But instead of doing the entire rehearsal, just learning vocal technique and doing the typical choir training, body alignment, unified of vowels, ensemble skills, we're going to allow them to have half of that time of doing their choir training, as well as preparing for a virtual project. While I'm working with one section of the choir, my collaborative pianist is going to work with another section of the choir. And they're going to teach a variety of different courses, from songwriting, theory and composition. They're also going to do composing with body percussion, sight singing, learning how to read takadimi, which is a rhythm syllable. So doing a variety of different things, and then we'll switch, because we also learned from our singers that having so many people on a Zoom call, it was difficult to interact with each other. And from an instructor's perspective, it was difficult for us to be able to really track their development. So by splitting the choir and having one director work with one group while the collaborative pianist works with the other group, and then we'll switch. And then we'll come together either at the beginning or at the end just to make sure that we are connecting as a community. In addition to that, we have some electives that we're going to offer some of the kids if they would like. Group piano, that was requested by many of our singers. They would like to have group piano. We're doing anything from entry piano to advanced piano for adults, as well as having classes learning the four chord progressions from pop to gospel, having a vocal improv class that was also requested by our singers so they could be able to enhance their artistic presentation with ad lib. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep going.
So you mentioned the new group, Poca Voce?
Poca Voce Choir, yes. Oh my goodness. Part of our education program, we've had Poca Voce in the past, but we decided to make it more of a choir emphasis. So this summer, under the wonderful instruction of my colleague, Jen Kimmock, who teaches in the Pennsbury School District, she's wonderful with early childhood and the young musician. And she worked with first graders and second graders through our Poca Voce Choir. What impresses me the most is that all the programming and the plans that we have had, we've just continued virtually, and we figured out how to do that. And it's just really remarkable to see these young ones really just growing in a span of a couple of weeks through this choral training that they had with Jen Kimmock. And she did a lot of fun things that I didn't even know existed through all of the apps that are out there and different things of that nature. So we're going to continue that in the fall for first and second graders.
Now, you mentioned, you know, you had the experience toward, you know, at the end of the spring, also the camp that you ran. What were some of the digital takeaways?
There are so many digital takeaways, and we're still learning every day. One of the things we did find out that musical theater works really well through Zoom, which we're using, which is our preference, because you can do a lot of things musically, and the sound is so much better. Even for them to be able to have their turn on the original sound is wonderful for musicians. So they're able to each have their own part, be able to speak their own part. We found that group piano works really well, so they're exploring with that yesterday and today, second day for Camp Westrick. There is so many wonderful games, both musical and non-musical, using Kahoot, using Scattergories, using Pictionary, scavenger hunts. The sky's the limit. It's really wonderful to see how they do that. We're always exploring to see how we can sing at the same time. I know there are lots of companies that are coming up with new things, and we've been on the front end of testing them with, you know, creators and seeing how it works, and hopeful that, you know, probably, you know, in the fall or the mid-fall, these things will be up and running for most folks. But in the interim, we're just making sure that we can still connect with our singers and allow them to sing and track their development in smaller groups. And then finding ways to bring them together as a bigger group, you know, through fun communal activities.
You have open auditions, or you'll be running open auditions. What type of demand have you started to see from potential new members?
You know, we have been so impressed with our new auditionees. One, that they know moving forward that we're going to be virtual in the fall and still would like to partner with us, and excited about the opportunity to learn and grow as a musician. We've given new auditionees two options. One option is that they can send us a video, and, you know, we make the requirements very simple. We ask them to sing a song, either Happy Birthday, and I think the other choice is Row Row Your Boat. We've asked them to sing one or two scales, and just keep it very simple, and to introduce themselves so that we can hear their speaking voice and to hear what is of interest to them. For those who prefer to come to a Zoom audition, we're having auditions today from 3 to 6, and I'm impressed that all the slots are filled today, which is great. And so we are excited, and we will open up more auditions as we receive interest from the outside. But we're asking them to do similar things. We also sing for them and ask them to sing back so that they can feel how it would feel when we're in actually a Zoom class together. So I sing for them, they sing back to me. I play some things on the piano, so see if they can hear that, and so they can just understand the experience. So part of the audition is assessing who they are as a singer and a musician, but it's also allowing them to experience how the teaching and the learning will be when in the virtual class.
You know, certainly at this point, it does seem that for at least for the near term, choral and singing is going to be restricted to digital online. Are there ways that you are exploring potential small group performances or in person, or is that something that is just too early to even start thinking about right now?
You know, it's great to think ahead, but based on science, the studies out of University of Colorado gives us a lot of assistance. They finished their second preliminary study, and that gives us an idea, but I think there's still study to be done to really help us to figure out how we can move forward safely for performances and in-person rehearsals. So at present, we are keeping up to date with all the science, whatever the health and guidelines are, and particularly those for singers, so that we're making sure that we are keeping our singers safe, whether in-person rehearsals or in-person concerts. But dividing our choirs into smaller groups, trios and quartets in the breakout rooms and Zoom is also helpful, and so that they're able to interact in that type of way. Having sectional rehearsals is another way that we're going to also be able to allow them to experience the music making a little bit differently. But at present, we're working towards virtual projects, but when, as you said, the advancement in technology that allows us to sing together virtually, together at the same time with all the latencies issues and addressing that. If that happens, we'll do that. When it's safe to come back in person, we will do that. But we'll just continue to watch the science and watch our colleagues and learn from them as well. We have our executive director with us too, Hillary Butler. Hillary Butler, would you like to say anything as well?
You know, I was reading an interesting article this morning about five areas that arts organizations can really be focusing on right now to be successful. And one of the things that the author brought up that I think is really important is this idea that if you're thinking about yourself as a product, a venue, a transaction, and everything shuts down, then you're going to shut down too. But if you're an idea, you understand that now is an even more important time to find ways to lead And while there's nothing wrong with being a product or a venue, the arts have always tried to make a case that we are more than that, and that artists really build community and are deserving of public investment, especially as many of us are nonprofits. And now's a great time for us to step up and really prove that. There's a great opportunity right now to be innovative, to experiment, and use those as opportunities to learn. And there's a higher tolerance for audiences right now for that kind of experimentation than there has been in years past. And it's a great opportunity for us to be able to lean into that and kind of figure out who we are, how are we going to lead, and what is it about what we are and what we do that transcends just the idea of being a product or a transaction with our audiences and our singers.
That was Hillary Butler, Executive Director of Westrick Music Academy, home of the Princeton Girl Choir and Princeton Boy Choir, and Linnell Joy Jenkins, Artistic Director. You can find more information about the programs at westrickmusic.org. In addition to exploring virtual options, the Youth Orchestra of Central Jersey is starting off its season with a leadership change. Longtime symphonic director John Enns retired after 35 years, and the orchestra recently announced a partnership with the Princeton Symphony Orchestra that will bring PSO assistant conductor Nell Flanders on as director of the youth orchestra. Larissa Epps is executive director of the youth orchestra, and Mark Ace is executive director of the Princeton Symphony. We spoke recently about the partnership, what's in store for the youth orchestra this season, and some early plans for the Princeton Symphony Orchestra as well.
Back in 2018, we started dialoguing about having different events between the two organizations about a couple years ago. So we've had students from our youth orchestra help out with the Princeton Symphony Orchestra Petting Zoo that they hold at the Communiversity in Princeton. And Mark has sent over several musicians from the orchestra to do sectionals with YOCJ. They've ran discount opportunities for the students to attend concerts. One of our favorite events was when Nell Flanders came and worked with the symphonic orchestra. And John Enns, our former symphonic orchestra conductor, was so delighted with her. He really felt like she made a very magical connection with the kids. So, you know, John came to me and the board president a couple months ago and said, you know, this is a good time for me to retire. I've been with, you know, YOCJ for 35 years. And he said to me, I would really love it if Nell Flanders, you know, could take over. You know, what do you think about that idea? Is that something that we can make happen? And I said, oh, you know, I'd love to explore that idea. So I reached out to Mark. And I remember I was when he called me back, I was sitting in my garden, you know, working in my garden, pulling weeds. And he called me back and I just sat down on the ground and we had this really nice conversation about how we could develop a partnership that went beyond just sharing Nell and her being this symphonic orchestra director in addition to her job she already has with Princeton Symphony Orchestra. So we just started dreaming beyond that. And, you know, if it weren't for coronavirus, we would just love to see where this could take off at this point. But in our discussions, both Mark and I said to each other, it's so nice to be talking about something so positive at such a crazy time. Right, Mark?
Absolutely. I mean, it's my favorite thing to talk about. And I think it would be anyway, but especially now. To really talk about something that is, it's truly about the future, and it's just such a positive thing for both of us. And it's really exciting to be able to come together in this way. A fascinating bit of history is that both of our organizations were founded by the same wonderful person, Portia Sonnenfeld, just 2 years apart. Teresa, I think you're older than us by 2 years. So I think I like to imagine that she would be absolutely delighted with us working together in this way. For us, it's really about having a place and people with whom we can share our artistic resources. So beyond the work that Nell will be doing, it's making our musicians available to her and to Youth Orchestra of Central Jersey to do whatever is going to be beneficial to the students. And beyond the musicians, our artistic support staff, our librarians, our production managers, because there's so much to playing in an orchestra, playing in an ensemble that is actually beyond the instrument. So I feel like that's something that we can do. And I'm excited that we actually are able to start in some way, although we're all frustrated by not being able to do things in person immediately. I know that Larissa and all of the conductors from IACK have been working very hard on really coming up with a program that can be run online. That in itself is an opportunity to explore things beyond the instrument. That's a chance for the students to do.
There are kind of a two-pronged. There's the short-term partnership, and then there's the long-term when something changes. Sketch out a little bit both of those ideas. What can you do in the short term? But once we can meet, you know, together, once people can meet together, what are some of the larger plans you like to put in place?
Short term, we wanted to keep a connection with the kids. I thought, you know, we all thought that it was important for the kids to stay connected with each other and stay engaged with their conductors. So we are going to be doing some online, what we call mini courses, and that's coming out very soon. We're working right now. We're kind of in the midst of getting that up and running and giving the kids a chance to register really soon. So it looks like we're going to be doing 5-week mini courses, then do like a session where everybody can join in, whether they've signed up for a mini course or not, and then another 5-week run of mini courses. So Nell is going to be leading one on composing and performing and orchestral work. And she's got all kinds of dimensions to that, exploring why music sounds the way it does, what makes it sound like you want to dance or suspenseful, and, you know, all kinds of aspects like that. And they'll be composing their own melodies and, you know, developing them further. So that course she's aiming towards the symphonic orchestra students, but, you know, would certainly open it beyond those kids. Our percussion director's leading an improvisation course. Our flute director is doing a comprehensive flute course for all the flutes, not just the students, flute students in her flute ensemble, but all the kids. And several conductors are getting together and doing a course on their favorite composers, including some film composers like John Williams and Hans Zimmer. So, you know, it's really a chance, I think, for the conductors to do things they would never otherwise get a chance to do. So I hope the kids take advantage of that.
And we're hoping that very shortly after the fall of 2020, we'll get back to what we all think of when we think of a youth orchestra coming together and playing. And it's going to be, I think, an exploration of what can we do with what's available to us. You know, you can't just throw everything on its head. Nell is going to come into a fantastically run program and get to know the kids in the next few months, and I think try to fit into the program as it exists. But then once we all know that we have more things available to us, I hope that we'll look at that and, you know, start to be more imaginative about how we can use those resources and see what opportunities exist. And I know that we are both open to just about anything. We've had lots of ideas flying around. So we certainly hope to create situations where ESO's musicians work more closely with the students, both in rehearsal and in performance. I think we just have to see how everyone responds to that. But I know that for us, we would like to welcome the entire YSCJ family into our audience, and we hope to welcome them all at Richardson. And, you know, I think let's see where we go, and we'll do fun things.
What have you been hearing, Larissa, from the students? What have you heard from them this past summer, and how have they been dealing with their situation and their connection to YOCJ?
Yeah, I've been hearing they really miss each other. They're very sad with how, you know, we had to end. A lot of kids feel isolated. And, you know, that's the thing about music. It's when we're playing together, when the kids are together, that's when it's most special, rather than playing only on your own. So they are really looking forward to being together again. I think once we are able to start rehearsing, you know, perhaps we'll need to start with small chamber groups and then grow from there once the situation improves. But I think they're going to jump at the chance. That's what I've been hearing. They're really missing it.
It really is a question of looking to see when we can get back to doing things in a more or less normal physical way.
What have you heard from the orchestra musicians about this partnership in addition to Nell? What are some things that maybe the musicians have mentioned that they might be looking forward to?
The feedback has been really positive. So, you know, I've heard from a lot of them. A few of them have called me to chat about it and thank me. And I think we're all really excited. You know, they are eager to be involved. And I think all musicians really understand that how important it is to work with youth. And I think all of us, as we progress in our careers as musicians, and I've been there myself, have spent a lot of time working with youth orchestras, and it's incredibly rewarding. And you learn a lot about yourself as a person and as a musician, and it's a way to give back. And so I think it's our musicians feel proud that we can have this association as an organization to really demonstrate that commitment, and it gives them a forum in which to do some of that work.
And Mark, just generally at this point, what are your next couple of possible options that you're looking for the symphony?
Well, we just announced a 3-concert virtual series for this fall. Those concerts will be broadcast October 4th, 18th, and November 15th. And they will be recorded at Morven Museum with a pretty small string ensemble. It'll be 11 musicians. It's doing really high-quality video recordings with them. And we'll package together concerts that include segments from our previously scheduled solo artists, interviews, and talkbacks with Rossin. We're really trying to bring the kind of content to the public that we're known for, but do it in a slightly different way, given that it's online, and trying to make all of these things as interesting as possible in the times that we're in, and take advantage of the technology that we're all being forced to use. Because I think ultimately we shouldn't just think of it as limiting, but focus on what new opportunities there are. And for us, having that online content means we'll be able to hopefully reach a wider audience than ever before, and reach people who've never been able to come to our concerts. So the musicians are excited to be back and doing that and working together in person. And yeah, it feels good that we're doing something positive that will more or less take us through the fall. We have some plans for towards the end of the year, and then we're thinking towards what does the spring look like.
That was my conversation with Mark Ace, Executive Director of the Princeton Symphony Orchestra, and Larissa Epps, Executive Director of the Youth Orchestra of Central Jersey. You can find their respective websites at princetonsymphony.org and yocj.org. You can also hear their comments about increasing diversity in the orchestra world as a webcast on the Autempo page at wwfm.org. I hope you enjoy the conversations that I bring you each week on Autempo about the changing dynamics in the performing arts world. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support of the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to Autempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. Autempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.